We welcome to the program this weekend Dr. Joseph Gastaldo. He's an infectious disease doctor for Ohio Health. And doctor, welcome back to our program.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to people in Hardin County.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. When last you were on the show, I think we were in late summer last year, headed into fall. Your main concern then was people getting a flu shot. And I think we'll get into all that, but I think they really did listen to that advice, because the flu really has been, I don't want to jinx us here, but non-existent.
You're absolutely right. And I thank people for getting the flu shot. I think that's great. Flu essentially was non-existent in our state and in our country, really, because of the COVID mitigation practices. So I think moving forward, we still need to recognize that and hopefully get to a point where people get a flu shot every year. Flu shots save lives. We have over 20 to 30,000 people a year who die on average related to influenza. So again, thank you for those who were vaccinated for influenza.
The flu season in this part of the country, doctor, goes into spring, does it not?
Yeah, traditionally every year flu kind of peaks and starts. It starts in the fall and winter months, typically November. Mm-hmm. It peaks usually in January, February, then it essentially dies off really this time of the year. And again, that's the generic sense of flu. However, you know, we all remember the H1N1 year. That actually started in the springtime. And sometimes there are influenza pandemics, and H1N1 was a pandemic, and that started in the springtime. So again, flu typically does have a seasonality to it, but sometimes we see these one-offs where it pops up other times of the year.
Yeah, there's any number of reasons why you would want to end the mitigation measures that you talked about that help cut down on the flu, namely because we're not through with COVID yet either.
That's correct. You know, there's a lot of happiness and joy when it comes to the COVID conversation. Yes. Our positivity numbers are coming down. They've come down from where we were at the peak time in January. Hospitalizations have come down. Deaths have come down. But our positivity numbers have really, as a country, plateaued off in the 60 to 70,000 range since late February. And that range is still too high. We're not there yet to even have any type of public de-escalation of mitigation practices that we've been living with for so long now.
We'll definitely talk more about the COVID vaccine, which is widely being rolled out across the country. But we do want to welcome into our show this weekend as well, Chris Davis. Chris is the Communications and Media Relations Director for Hardin Memorial. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dennis. Thank you.
It's great to welcome you here. I didn't want you to feel left out. We have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely not. Never.
So let's talk about the COVID vaccine. Doctor, there's a lot of people who are just reluctant to get this vaccine, and it's really the unknowns. There's not a whole lot widely known because it is new for everyone. But what you can tell people is it is safe and effective.
Absolutely. Let's dissect that a little bit. I want to first to acknowledge that if you would have asked me a year ago, would we have a vaccine out that is proven to be safe and effective, I'd probably have my doubts and really want to know more about the details. So you're talking to an infectious disease doctor. I've been studying COVID now in the weeds for over a year. We have three very safe and effective vaccinations. These vaccines are wonderful. They prevent people from dying. It keeps people out of the hospital. In our country, we have had over 60 million people who have received at least one dose of the vaccines, and there have been no serious safety signals whatsoever in these people receiving the vaccines. In addition to that, in the state of Ohio, for example, when you look at what Governor DeWine had for prioritizations, we wanted to prioritize those at risk of dying and being hospitalized with COVID-19. We started off with 80 and above, 75 and above, 70 and above, and most recently was announced 50 and above. In the state of Ohio, our hospitalizations and our COVID deaths have gone down because of people being vaccinated. And the other thing that was just announced recently is what was recommended by the CDC yesterday for people who are fully vaccinated. And as time goes on, we are going to see more and more gradual de-escalation of mitigation practices and recommendations based on people being vaccinated, based on us getting to that level of what I call community immunity. Mm-hmm. The big announcement yesterday from the CDC, I think, should be used really as an incentivization for people to really think hard about being vaccinated. What was announced yesterday? For people who are fully vaccinated in the setting of the privacy of their home, they could be together with other people outside of their household who are fully vaccinated without wearing a mask or physically distancing. In addition, this really has applications to senior citizens. For people who are fully vaccinated, they can be around other people who are at very low risk of having a severe outcome from COVID-19 who have not been vaccinated. Mm. My mom and dad, really what that means for them, my mom and dad are both fully vaccinated. They can safely be around their grandchildren who are not fully vaccinated. They can hug them. They could kiss them. You know, I do see more and more recommendations coming out like that as more and more people get vaccinated.
Well, that announcement from the CDC was almost like a shot in the arm, pardon the pun, as much as the vaccine shot was, because I think people, they kind of perked up. They, hey, there's a light at the end of the tunnel here.
Absolutely. You know, it's a really positive message. We're all used to the CDC and ODH, other people telling us what we can't do. Guess what? This is the first time they're telling us what we can do. That's amazing. It puts a big smile on my face. And moving forward, as more and more people get vaccinated, once we get to that level of community immunity, I do expect to see more guidance on what we can do.
Well, we know that there's any number of people who are reluctant to get a vaccine. I think the more people get a vaccine and that word of mouth starts getting out, it's not that bad. You might experience this a little bit, but it's just not that bad. And I think that might convince, that'll go a long way at least, in convincing people to be get the vaccination.
You're absolutely right. I do see that happening too as more and more people in the community get safely vaccinated. However, though, we have to realize that people have access to misinformation. Throughout COVID-19, I've been dealing with not only a pandemic, but something I call an infodemic. Through social media, through Susie down the street, through somebody who you think is telling you the news, they are spreading really disinformation and things that are not based on science. And we need to take this COVID-19 vaccination safety and efficacy message to all communities and to all zip codes. You know, this is what I do. I study this every day. And, you know, people have jobs. People are doing other things in their lives. So when something comes in the news or something what they think is in the news, or they see it on Twitter or social media, or they hear something that Susie says, a lot of people do have seeds of vaccine hesitancy that are out there. And for people who have vaccine hesitancy, we need to engage those people in a respectful and non-judgmental way so they can get their concerns answered from some source that is reputable to hopefully give them the information they need so they can choose to be vaccinated.
Do you find that people's hesitancy to get a vaccine, are they the same people that normally wouldn't get a flu vaccine as well? I mean, they're just that, they're anti-vaxxers, I guess.
Well, a little bit of both. I think a lot of people who have vaccine hesitancy really have it based on misinformation that's out there. You know, all of a sudden now, everybody is following in the weeds and the details, everything about these vaccines. You know, no one has done that before previously with other vaccines that have come out, but everybody's following all this with really a fine tooth comb of all of these little headlines that come out. Yes, there are people out there who are anti-vaccination. I usually don't use that word, but there are people out there who, no matter what you tell them, are going to choose not to be vaccinated. And again, we need to take the vaccine safety and efficacy message to everybody in every zip code and every community, and really allow them to get the information they need so that hopefully they could choose to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy that a day before this conversation, doctor, I got the vaccination yesterday. It was the Johnson & Johnson, so the one vaccine shot. Look, it hurt a little bit going into the arm, as you would expect a needle going into your arm, but it wasn't all that bad. I woke up with a slight fever and a little bit of a headache, took some Tylenol, and I'm fine today. So, but honestly, it does affect people differently.
Absolutely. And again, we are all different. Some people tolerate side effects better than others. People's immune systems they're all different. You know, when it comes to vaccine side effects, it's really not a side effect. It's an immune response. So what you described is your body's way of developing immunity to the spike protein, which would give you protection in this setting if you come in contact with this contagious virus. So when you look at the vaccine side effects, we know that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, based on the study, has less immune response compared to the two-dose messenger RNA vaccines. In addition to that, we also have learned that people above the age of 65 have less immune responses to those less than 65. Another thing we've learned, for those who have had COVID, and those who have had COVID, by the way, should be vaccinated, they can be vaccinated, but for people who have previously had COVID, when they get vaccinated, they do have more of an immune response because their immune system has already been primed already from actually having COVID.
Yeah, the very interesting part of that, doctor, was that your body behaving that way. You develop a fever, you develop the headache. The most important part of what you said is that's normal. You should expect it. It means the vaccine's doing its job.
Absolutely. It's not, again, I don't want to use the word side effect. It's really an expected effect. It's an immune response. Now, I do want to say this too. If you don't have any side effects, it doesn't mean the vaccine didn't take. I know plenty of people who got the vaccine who have no side effects whatsoever. And when you look at the clinical trials for the three vaccines, there are people who do not report any immune responses or side effects. So you can't necessarily look at that as a way to say, oh my gosh, the vaccine didn't work because I didn't experience any immune responses. Everybody's immune systems, everybody's body is different.
Absolutely. And I'm going to ask after the fact now, was taking the Tylenol a good idea, or should I have just let it play out its course there?
Yeah, so the official CDC recommendations are really based on the fact that it hasn't been studied, but the official CDC recommendations should be followed, and they state the following. If you are wanting to take Tylenol or Advil preventatively to prevent an immune response, that should not be done. However, if somebody does have a low-grade fever or a headache after being vaccinated, it is A-OK to take Tylenol or Advil. In addition to that, we don't want people holding any medications. So if Aunt Susan is a diabetic, she takes blood pressure medicine, she takes aspirin for her heart disease, we want her to take all of her medications the day she gets vaccinated. We don't want her to miss any medications. We don't want to have her miss any meals. You really want to go in like your normal day when you get vaccinated, just kind of like you have your flu shot. When you go to get your flu shot, you still take your medicines. We don't want to hold any medications at all. But when it comes to taking Tylenol or Advil, we only want people to take those if they develop an immune response and not to take them preventatively.
Good advice. I think I followed that then. I feel better. Thank you, doctor. Now, when you do get the vaccine, they're going to have you wait about 15, 20 minutes or so just to make sure you're not having any kind of adverse reaction.
That is correct. So one thing people have to realize is when you go to get vaccinated, it's not like a flu shot or going through a fast food drive-through restaurant where you get your shot and you go away. You have to register. You have to answer some questions. They want to make sure, obviously, that you're not having symptoms of COVID-19 because we don't want you going to be vaccinated to potentially expose other people. But part of the safety process is that everybody is monitored for at least 15 minutes. And depending on what kind of questions that you answer, some people are monitored for 30 minutes. So Let's say you have a history of a severe allergic reaction to penicillin, or for that matter, any other vaccine or any other food substance. You need to disclose that. You can still be vaccinated. However, you're going to be monitored for 30 minutes instead of 15 minutes. In addition to that, I really want to ask everybody to get plugged in and to participate in something called V-Safe, V-S-A-F-E, V-Safe. That is a mechanism for you to register yourself with the CDC, and I think this is really cool. For those who get vaccinated, you get a daily text message for 7 days after you are vaccinated, and then weekly thereafter for a total of 6 weeks. And that resets if you get the second dose. And guess what? We get safety information from that. And you get to report and tell the CDC how you're feeling if you get vaccinated. And if you do report something that is very, very concerning, someone from the CDC is going to be calling you to investigate that. That's a great way of surveillance, and we are really gathering a lot of data from that. There's another way for anybody to also go online and report any type of what they think is an adverse reaction from the vaccine. And again, the CDC, the FDA, they gather all of this data. And like I said earlier, there are over 60 million people in our country who have been vaccinated, and there have been no serious safety concerns whatsoever with those vaccines.
Yeah, it's certainly important that people do take it serious, do monitor, and do report. Don't just keep it a secret, because that's how we all learn.
Absolutely. We want to learn. You know, when we go into this, we want to be transparent with the public, and this is me talking as a doctor. You know, these are new vaccine platforms that we've never given before to this large of a group in the public. So we need to be very humble and monitor people for safety concerns. But, you know, now we're at the point now where over 60 million people have been vaccinated, and there have been no serious safety concerns. You know, mRNA vaccines, people have never heard of them before, but in clinical research and in trials, they've been around since the 1990s. The type of vaccine that Johnson & Johnson is a vector from a virus. It's a virus that's been deactivated. It doesn't cause any kind of infection. But these viral vector platforms have been used in clinical trials since the 1970s. Hmm. So even though it's the first time the public has ever heard of these vaccine platforms, they have been used in clinical trials in really thousands of people for a long period of time. And moving forward now, we have safety data for them, and now millions of people.
A lot of people are talking about how effective each vaccine is, and some are saying that the Johnson & Johnson is not as effective as Moderna or Pfizer, but really that's just not true.
Yeah, that's not true. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna, they are all equal. One is not better than the other. Let's talk about that a little bit. So what a word that a lot of people don't know what it means is the word efficacy. Mm-hmm. Efficacy is the result you get from a clinical trial. The clinical trial from Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J are different. First of all, Pfizer and Moderna were done against the original virus. The virus is not mutated. And the endpoint that was measured was symptomatic COVID-19. The J&J trial was done at a time and in parts of the world where we have these variants that are out there. Johnson & Johnson was done in January and in December in parts of the world, specifically Latin America and South Africa, where we have those variants. I can promise you this, if the exact same trials for Pfizer and Moderna were done, the efficacy would be different. Now, what really matters the most is this. If you get vaccinated, does the vaccine prevent you from dying, and does it keep you out of the hospital? And in that metric, all of the trials, Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, all perform at 100%. There was 100% efficacy in the trial in offering protection and keeping people from dying then and keeping them out of the hospital. And really, when it comes to the variants, You know, we are going, the variants that we've seen in the world, they're here in the United States. Mm-hmm. We've always been here. We've really lagged behind doing variant testing or genetic sequencing. We're doing more of that, and it's expected that we are going to have more variants in this country. Guess what? We do have a trial. We have real-world data on how the J&J vaccine performed in parts of the world where we know they have a lot of the variants. And in that situation, the J&J performs exceptionally well. We don't really have data on that on the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. However, I will say this. The variants that we have out there in the world and the ones that we have in our country, the J&J vaccine and the mRNA vaccines are performing very, very well based on lab studies.
So, Doctor, once you're vaccinated, how long does it take to reach immunity from COVID-19?
Yeah, so once somebody is fully vaccinated, and again, fully vaccinated means they're 2 weeks out from the single J&J vaccine or 2 weeks out from the second dose of an mRNA vaccine. Once somebody is 2 weeks out, they are considered fully vaccinated, and you're going to be hearing that word a lot more moving forward. Like yesterday, for people who are fully vaccinated, in the setting of a small group in the privacy of their home, they can be together with other people who are fully vaccinated without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
Chris, I want to bring you in before we run out of time. When it comes to getting vaccinated, there really is no competition. I mean, it's wherever the vaccine is, you make an appointment, but certainly you want to talk about Hard Memorial Hospital offers these through the physicians group, correct?
That's correct. Actually, Dennis, we're offering two clinics in Hardin County. So one would be at the Ohio Health Physician Group in Canton, which is Dr. Neuhauser and Dr. Crum's office in the medical office building that's just north of the hospital. So that would be our first clinic. And then Hardin Memorial Hospital is just starting to open a clinic as well, which would take place in the McCullough Conference Room. We are asking folks to enter through the northeast door of the hospital. It's kind of where the eating patio area is at. There's a door there, and it would lead right into the McCullough Conference Room. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to schedule through Ohio Health, there's a couple of options that they can do. They can either call the Ohio Health COVID-19 vaccine hotline, and that number... You want me to give that number, Dennis?
Absolutely.
Okay. It is 614-533-6999, and that hotline is available weekdays from 4 a.m. or, sorry about that, that's kind of early, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then the other option that they can schedule through is the Ohio Health MyChart, and you do have to have an account to do that. So, either of those ways is fine to schedule your appointment right here in our own county.
Now, I do want to give a plug for that MyChart. I use that. I registered. I signed in. I did everything I needed to do. And when I just went there, it was quick, easy, get the shot, and you're gone. After about 15 minutes, of course, they observe you. But MyChart, you guys have that down to a science.
Yes, it is very convenient.
Absolutely right. You can fill all that information out beforehand, and you're ready to go. Doctor, I do want to ask, though, at any other clinic that people go to, will they be able to choose which vaccine? It seems to me I didn't have a choice yesterday. I was happy it was Johnson & Johnson because I'm all for just one shot as opposed to two. But do you have a choice?
At this point in time, no. You know, the vaccines all have different storage restrictions. So, for example, the mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, they have to be kept in a freezer. What's really nice about the J&J vaccine, it's a one-and-done vaccine, and it's kept in a refrigerator. So at this point in time, just to recap, officially speaking, one vaccine is not recommended over another. All of the vaccines perform at the same level. They are all wonderful, great, safe, and effective vaccines. Now, moving forward, 6 months from now, a year from now, it may be different when people do get a choice in a vaccine. However, at this point in time, it really offers a layer of complexity that is really too hard to do. if it came to getting vaccines that required, had such strict storage requirements, it would make it very, very complicated for people to get vaccinated. And also, too, you know, the J&J vaccine as a one-time dose vaccine, it's a great vaccine. If that vaccine came out first and I had access to that, I would so happily roll my sleeve to get that vaccine. And I think for people who live in rural areas where it may be more challenging for them to come back to get a second dose, having a one-and-done single-dose vaccine, I think, is a godsend. And I think something that a lot of people will appreciate.
Yeah, look, I think I was fortunate that I had the J&J. It was just fantastic. And I, but again, either one is effective. Now, we're way too early in, are we not, doctor, to know whether we're going to need booster shots, like kind of like flu vaccines?
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, in 2021, there's still a lot of things we have to learn about the vaccine. For example, when you get vaccinated, how long does your immunity last for? We call that durability. We're still learning that. The second thing we need to learn, obviously, is to get safety information for pregnant women and children, and we should have that information by the end of the year. We need to pay attention to the variants, and maybe someday the vaccines will have to be tweaked or altered to cover the variants. But when it's all said and done, I think this is going to be turning into something like a flu shot, where we get it perhaps either once a year or every other year, and it's going to essentially evolve into something like that. And like we talked about earlier on in this conversation, we started talking about the flu shot, and guess what? Moving forward, I do know that some drug companies are working on a combined flu-COVID shot. Talk about something cool, and that's something I think that we'll be hearing more and more about probably toward the end of this year moving forward.
You know, I think only an infectious disease doctor would say that's cool, but yeah, it's cool. I think it's great. Anything that's going to help, right? Because we're kind of getting tired of wearing the mask. Here's the thing, though. Don't give up too soon.
Absolutely. You know, right now there's a huge, huge demand for the vaccines that far outweighs the supply. So anybody listening who's frustrated and angry about not being able to get vaccinated, please be patient. More vaccines are coming. I know that. I've seen what's coming on the pipeline from the federal level for Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J. So don't give up hope. Don't get frustrated. You're going to get your vaccine. More and more are coming. And I really want to ask everybody to really strongly consider getting a vaccine that's very safe and effective. I want people to have joys and pleasures brought back into their life. And for us to get there, for us to get to that level of community immunity, what's going to get us there quickest is people rolling up their sleeve and taking a vaccine. Being vaccinated is a civic duty. It's a sign of love and respect for all of us in our communities.
That is a great way to wrap up the program. We're completely out of time, but Dr. Joseph Gastaldo, doctor, can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes.
I'm very happy to meet with this group. Thank you.
And Chris, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Dr. Gastaldo.
I'm absolutely certain of one thing, that we're still early in all of this, so we'll have you back on again soon.
Thank you.